In the internet age, we've developed the expectation that we can get answers to pretty much anything, pretty much anywhere, pretty much immediately. But some questions require more than algorithmic response provided by the big search engines. OTM producer Mark Phillips reports.
Fans of hokey sci-fi television will probably remember Quantum Leap, a show that ran from 1989 to 1993 and starred Scott Bakula. He played a quantum physicist from the not-so-distant future, 1999.
It all started when a time travel experiment I was conducting went a little caca.
Yes, Sam found himself leaping from one body to the next, correcting things that went wrong or something like that.
Here I am, a sort of time-traveling Lone Ranger with Al as my tanto.
Al was the holographic sidekick from the future, who appeared to help Sam figure things out. To do this, he used a device the size of a calculator named Ziggy. He would type something into Ziggy and quickly get the answer.
Listen, Al, you figure out what I'm here to do?
Well, according to Ziggy, there's a 72% chance you're here to cure the pig.
The show was silly then and now, but Ziggy has more or less become a reality. In fact, we get answers from things with even sillier names than Ziggy. Jeeves, Yahoo, Google, and there's a new weird name to add to the list. Cha-Cha. A couple weeks ago, I was walking down the street with John Coltrane on my iPod, and a question popped into my head. What year did Coltrane die? So I pulled out my cell phone, much smaller than Ziggy and Quantum Leap. I dialed 1-800-2-CHA-CHA and then took off one of my headphones and I heard,
"Welcome to Cha-Cha. What is your question?"
Then I asked,
"What year did John Coltrane die?"
I went back to listening to my iPod, and about a minute later I received a text message. The text read,
"In 1967, liver disease took his life, leaving many to wonder what might have been. Have a great day."
Huh, not bad. You can also send text messages to Cha-Cha, and I did a lot of texting to see if I could fool this Ziggy-like creature. But it always understood, so then I wondered, "Are you a real person?" And I got a text message back that read,
"Yes, I am a real person. Ouch, I just did the pinch test. I'm real, all right. Cha-Cha guides are real people. Thank you."
Launched earlier this year, Cha-Cha has its employees, also known as guides, use their computers at home for you. Guides get paid 20 cents per answer, but the service is free for users because along with each answer comes a link, which sometimes includes an advertisement. Co-founder and Cha-Cha CEO Scott Jones says people are the secret to making a real-life Ziggy. Jones says keywords automatically route questions to guides interested in that subject.
And this is a guide who knows a little more about that topic than most do, and they're looking at, you know, websites that relate to that topic. That's a pretty powerful combination that gives a quantum leap in performance, and I don't think it's a short-lived quantum leap. I think this actually extends years before computers can catch up.
Wait, did he just say quantum leap? Does he know the show?
I do.
Do you remember Ziggy? This is Ziggy, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Jones wouldn't say he got the idea directly from Quantum Leap, but he did admit that he got the idea just about the same time the show began. Huh. Either way, he says the end result is something much more useful than Google or the other big search engines.
I mean, for the last decade, the big guys have been trying to figure out how to return answers to people, and they can't do it because there's some really tough problems there. And Cha-Cha solved those problems by injecting some human intelligence.
But what's so good about human intelligence? Humans are great at understanding the meaning of questions, like when I texted Cha-Cha, "What time is lost on?" Lost is a common word, and it would be difficult for a computer to understand I'm talking about a television show. Also, it might not understand the word on to mean when does it air each week. But sure enough, "What time is lost on?" got a reply a minute later saying,
"Lost is on Thursdays on NBC at 10 p.m. Thanks for asking."
Only a human could really understand my question, but only a human would answer it incorrectly, since actually, Lost is on Thursdays at 10 p.m. on ABC, not NBC. Opinions are also embedded in human intelligence, so I thought I'd test Cha-Cha on a topic that's reliably inflammatory.
Welcome to Cha-Cha. What is your question?
Is homosexuality a sin?
A minute later, I received a text that said,
If you're a believer of God in the Bible, and I am, then yes, it is.
Well, glad that's solved once and for all.
Actually, we get quite a few questions that are very subjective.
Cha-Cha CEO Scott Jones.
Some guides, they might have opinions about certain things that if you're going to ask a very subjective question, you may get different types of answers. And in fact, we encourage people to ask a couple of times if they're not so happy with the first answer.
Oh, okay. So ask the same question again, and this time?
Many people within different religions believe that homosexuality is a sin. I personally don't believe it's a sin. Thanks.
So you just keep asking it questions until you like the answer? Sounds more like a magic eight ball than Ziggy. Over months of using Cha-Cha, I find that I can trust it to solve bar bets, but sometimes it's way off, so I can't trust it as my only source for important information like train timetables or restaurant recommendations. It seems that as long as answers get sent to one person, even one equipped with the internet, the answer will frequently be tainted by human error and subjective preferences. But what if questions were sent to millions of people? Tim Meyer is vice president of search business at Yahoo. Meyer oversees Yahoo Answers, an online community of over 140 million people asking and answering questions.
There's a lot of information, very specific information or subjective type information, which is in people's heads and isn't published to the web. The goal of Yahoo Answers is you can go to Answers and you can type in your question in regular language, and then you're going to get users with expertise coming and then answering your question very specifically.
If you sign up for a Yahoo account, you can log in and ask anything you like, and you can also answer questions. Answers get rated, good ones rise to the top, and people accumulate points for good answers.
And that gives you sort of credibility within the community.
Yahoo's Tim Meyer.
So if you see someone with a lot of points, you probably say, well, that person has a good reputation and probably has answered a lot of questions very well, so I might trust their answer better than others.
So unlike Cha-Cha, Yahoo Answers sends your question to millions of people. But how do you know those millions include someone qualified to give you a good answer? If you ask a question about, say, backpacking in Olympic National Park, who's to say an experienced backpacker will see it and respond? Meyer says it happens because of a desire to accumulate those points and what he calls the culture of generosity. Remarkably, it works. It took a few hours for my backpacking question, but I received some good advice based on someone's previous trips, and he included some useful links. Clay Shirky is an internet consultant and author of the book Here Comes Everybody, The Power of Organizing Without Organizations.
Well, the key thing about all of these systems is that they only require about 1% participation to get going. A tiny, tiny group of people can create an enormous amount of value for everybody else. These systems work not by resisting free riders, but by being free rider tolerant, right? Free riders, in fact, provide the audience for the people doing the showing off or people engaging and answering the questions. On the other hand, one of the things I've noticed from Yahoo Answers is if you go on Yahoo Answers and you ask, what is the meaning of life? Right? You'll get hundreds of answers because it's the kind of question people want to engage. If you go on Yahoo and you ask, how many televisions are there in the United States today? You won't get an answer because in a way it's not an interesting enough question to answer.
It's true. I asked a couple more questions on Yahoo Answers, very specific ones, and got no reply. That's the problem with sending your question to the masses. They're still human, and people get bored. Cha-Cha responds every time right away, but the company is in the unfortunate position of having to pay its pesky, sentient workforce, another drawback of humans. So why not perfect the search engine so that it can answer real questions, not just list millions of pages where your answer might be found? The algorithm won't get bored or charge 20 cents per answer, and surely artificial intelligence is close to understanding how people ask and answer questions, right?
The problem with artificial intelligence is a machine that thinks like a human being is 10 years away, and it's been 10 years away since the 1950s.
Clay Shirky.
That ability to infer what you mean from what you say is really beyond artificial intelligence right now. And I think for the next 5 years, we're really going to see making search engines do better what search engines do and human answering systems do what human answering systems do. So I think we're actually going to be deepening the two different systems but not yet fusing them.
And maybe it's better that way. If you're wondering about a director's last film, it's nice sometimes to do a search, get sent to IMDb, and see a list of all her films. Each answering service, including the old-fashioned Google search, or God forbid, a trip to the library, has a time and a place.
Part of the cha-cha thing is really the mobile phone interface and the speed of the answer.
Again, Clay Shirky.
I think people, in a way, have been given for the first time a real serendipity meter across the range of Google, Wikipedia, Yahoo Answers, cha-cha. Right? I can go into a completely serendipitous environment. I can go into a completely directed environment. Answer my question now. And question by question, I can decide where I want to land on that spectrum.
We would lose that spectrum if we had the all-knowing computer Ziggy give us specific answers to every question. And that would mean no real building of knowledge. So maybe 10 years down the line, the perfected search engine and the perfected human answering system will merge to create the omnipotent answerer. But let's hope people still ask strangers for directions, friends for recommendations, and experts for opinions. Otherwise, we'll all look like Al from Quantum Leap.
Well, Ziggy says it was just a weird fluke.
What kind of a fluke?
Well, apparently his neurons and mesons are on a frequency close to yours.
And let's face it, he looks pretty silly.
There. That should clear things up.
For On the Media, I'm Mark Phillips.
Except for while I'm here.
Well, that should be obvious.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by committee again. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson and more engineering help from Zach Marsh. We also had help from Gina Gasper. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl. Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. Brooke will be back in 2 weeks. I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.